Hi, my name is Caroline, and I'm a survivor of sexual assault. About 2.5 years ago, you forced sex on me after what had begun as a fun and innocent evening. You probably think that what you did was casual, no big deal, just a logical ending to a great date. But what you did was hurtful and harmful, both physically and emotionally, and I'm still dealing with the consequences of your actions. For a year, I tried to laugh it off and make a joke about it, to convince myself that what happened was just a mistake I made, my own big mistake. I felt as if I had broken a promise to myself that I would wait for sex until I could share it with the man I loved and married. I blamed myself for what happened. As time passed, the memories were slowly suppressed, and so was the truth. I kept it to myself, afraid that people would think less of me if they knew. I felt I had to be the fun, carefree, smiley person I had been before, but something was different. I missed my old self. Nearly a year later, as I was driving back from spring break, a friend and I were discussing STDs. I had never been checked out, and I began to think that I probably should be. Surprisingly, that thought had never crossed my mind. As we rode on, we drove past the city limit sign for your hometown. It didn't register at first, but then it clicked. That was where you were from. The timing was too precise to be coincidental. As insignificant as it seemed, that little road sign triggered memories. For the last 80 miles of the drive, I started to take an honest look at that night. I began to admit that what had happened was not consensual sex. I felt sick to my stomach. It had been bad enough to recall that night as a mistake. To face the notion that it was rape was a million times worse. I spent those first days after spring break sitting in my room, wanting the past back. I was hurt by thoughts of what you did, and I was upset by how much time and energy those thoughts and feelings consumed. But the grind of school and work couldn't be put on hold, so I tried pushing it away once again. This time, it seemed impossible to suppress. I couldn't get it out of my mind. I mentioned in passing to a close friend that I was struggling with recurrent memories of an encounter that had occurred a year ago and that I had been thinking more deeply about what had actually happened. I didn't really understand what I was thinking and feeling and felt unable to convey what was going on. Nothing really came of that or some of the other early conversations, but I kept reaching out to other friends. I felt I needed help in coping with this situation. It finally took the right friend to understand what I was trying to express. As soon as I told her what I had been telling my other friends, she came over. She gave me the hug I needed and asked if I would tell her what I had been thinking about. All I could really say was that I wasn't sure about what had happened and that I thought I was wrong about it being just sex. She asked a few basic questions. What do you mean when you say that you're wrong about it being just sex? What did he do and how did you feel about it? These questions forced me to be honest with myself and understand what I was feeling. It felt good to finally talk meaningfully to someone. I wanted to get to the point where I could talk openly about what you did, to be able to see a similar situation in a movie and not feel ill. I wanted to be able to cry about it and feel okay with myself again, to look in the mirror and feel pride instead of fear, hurt, and self-doubt. I wanted to recover my spunk, to be able to have fun, and to be a friend again. Little reminders of you and your actions kept popping up everywhere. One morning, I picked out a shirt that was the same color as the one I wore the night you raped me. I saw your friend in the cafeteria. I passed through your town on my drive home on a weekend trip. Violent sexual scenes from movies and TV shows reminded me and scared me. The summer came, and I woke up from a nightmare one morning before work. In my dream, I had been raped, and I dreamt that immediately afterwards, I was trying to tell someone what had happened. I was on the phone, but something was preventing me from talking. It was as if someone were choking me. All the breath was taken from my lungs. I woke up in a panic. I didn't participate much at work that day. After work, my supervisor and good friend asked if I'd run an errand with her. In the car, she asked if something was bothering me. After some hesitation, I told her about my nightmares and what had happened to me. I felt sick to my stomach as I recounted the events and tried my best to distance myself from them. Yet, my friend listened, and I began to feel that I could safely talk about what you had done. Opening up to friends was the key that unlocked months of suppressed emotion. I needed time by myself to sort out my feelings. I went to sit on the beach one afternoon, and as I thought about things, I started to get angry. I was mad at you for taking advantage of my trust, for not listening to me. I was mad at myself for not saying no just one more time, as if all the times I did say no were not enough. Shouldn't once have been enough? I was mad for not getting up and leaving sooner. I struggled to understand how an encounter as brief as 20 minutes could completely change me. As fate would have it, I saw you again. Do you remember that? After giving a campus tour, I was asked to help with the orientation for transfer students. As I was explaining materials to parents, I heard someone ask, "Am I in the right line?" I glanced up from my notes to find you looking me straight in the eye. A sudden wave of fear hit me as I instantly placed your face and voice. After getting your orientation materials, you found a seat. Did you pick that seat on purpose? The light seemed to be shining directly on you, making the whole situation very surreal. I felt as though you were staring at me. Did you even know who I was? I realized what the ramifications were. You were going to be a student at the same university. I would probably see you on campus. You could be in one of my classes. We might even end up living in the same residence hall. Throughout this period, a few of my friends suggested I talk to a professional, someone prepared to help a person in my situation. But I felt I could handle this on my own. Why did I need to talk to a professional? Did my friends think I wasn't strong enough? Eventually, I did let a friend take me to the counseling center, but I sat in the car for a good 20 minutes before I went in. A few days later, I had an appointment with the counselor. I went into the session feeling very nervous. I sat down and didn't really know what to say. The counselor asked me to start the story wherever I felt comfortable. I couldn't even think straight, but I took a deep breath and tried to reassemble the pieces of that night. The counselor asked a few questions. I attempted to answer them, but my answers were halting and incomplete. She suggested I think about the questions after that day's session and try writing about them. The first question was, "Think of a time you were caught off guard. How did it feel?" I tried to be stoic. I felt that if I said anything or even changed, everyone would know what happened to me, and I was not ready for that. I felt I had to be tough about it. If people talked about me or about what happened, if they made jokes, I wouldn't be able to confront them. The second question was, if you were to talk about it, what would you say to others? I think I would say that I'm uncomfortable even thinking about it, that it's something I'm dealing with and that it's something no one else should have to go through. The third question was, what helps you deal with it? Since I'm not one to just open up to anyone, it really helps when people ask me about it and listen to what I have to say. I feel like I'm burdening people when I bring it up. My friends have enough to worry about. They don't need someone else's problems to deal with. It also really helps when people ask specific questions. It helps me work through this from a new direction. The next question was, what did you really lose? I lost the possibility of sharing that experience for the first time. I lost trust in other people. I sometimes look at them and wonder what bad things they're thinking or doing. I feel I can't go anywhere without being afraid that he'll be there or that he'll find out where I live. I lost the ability to have fun. I lost my carefree attitude. I lost my innocence. I lost myself. He took that from me. Writing answers to these questions was the beginning of my facing my rape head on, and the counselor's questions helped me to focus directly on what happened and how it affected me. A week later, I left another session with more questions to explore. The first question was, if you saw him on campus and passing was unavoidable, what would you do? My instinct would be to walk right past him with my head down. Then again, that would suggest that I'm ashamed or embarrassed, which I guess I am. I shouldn't be. I know I shouldn't be, but I still feel that way. I would want to walk with my head up, look him straight in the eye, and stand my ground. I would want to be okay. The next question was, how did that night change the way you think of people? I wonder about everyone and everything when I'm not in a completely familiar place with familiar people. I'm constantly checking behind my back nervously. I'm just not comfortable where I am. That uncertainty has become a part of me. It's not as though I'm conscious of it. It's just a part of my life now. I have to remember to relax. I don't feel I can trust people, especially guys. By taking away my innocence, he changed how I think of human beings altogether. I'd like to think people are good for the most part, but I'm no longer sure. The next question was, what makes you feel uncomfortable? Being alone around guys I don't know well. Jokes about rape. The word rape. Situations where the topic is brought up, even when it doesn't directly concern me. When I see something similar in a movie or on TV. Hearing her saying his name. When I'm in a place with someone I don't want to be with. When there's no way out of something, when someone doesn't listen to what I say or how I feel, when a guy even flirts with me. These questions opened a floodgate. I spent the next week sitting in my room, thinking, crying, and trying to understand. The whole thing just consumed me. I couldn't focus on homework, classes, or my job. I didn't even care enough to put on a pair of jeans and a nice shirt. Instead, I wore pajama pants and sweatshirts all the time. I obsessed over finding answers any way I could, in books, websites, any place. Every day was a roller coaster. I was a mess. Like the previous two, the third counseling session sparked more things to think about. The first question was, what happens when people ask you about being raped? What do you do? I freeze up. I don't know why, but I just stare. It's hard to open up about it. But if I don't, it's as if I'm trying to keep a secret. On the other hand, if I do tell people about the rape, it often makes them uncomfortable. They sometimes change the subject or just avoid it altogether. They don't understand that trying to avoid what happened is like denying a piece of who I am. Sometimes I wish people just knew what I was thinking. I wish people just knew that I needed a hug, someone to sit with, and someone to tell me that everything is going to be okay. I wish people knew to keep asking questions instead of changing the subject, even if I do seem upset. The next question was, what's holding you back from telling your mom about what happened? I know my mom's going to be hurt that I haven't told her about what happened. She's going to think I didn't trust her enough. In the beginning, I didn't tell her because I was afraid of her reaction. I thought she would freak out and have me come home instantly. The last thing I need is for the rest of my life to change. I know she'll be upset knowing that someone hurt her daughter. I don't want to be the topic of discussion every time I come home for a holiday break. Holidays are for celebrating, not for crying. And I know she's going to want to talk about how she feels with one of her sisters. If I tell her, then there's a good chance that the whole family will know. All of my aunts, uncles, and cousins. Word travels fast in a big Roman Catholic family. The next question was, what's stopping you from moving on? Everything I do seems to revolve around this one event. I don't understand how 20 minutes can have such an impact on a life, but it can. Part of me thinks that I shouldn't be so affected by it. I ask myself, what's the big holdup? It's over. But it's not over. I haven't been going to class. I sit on my couch and think about it all day. It's taken all of my energy and focus. By the end of the day, I'm still thinking. I go to bed, try to sleep, then wake up and do it all over again. The next question was, have you had any recurring dreams? I had a certain dream for the third time a few nights ago. In this dream, my tooth got knocked out. I tried holding it in place so it could take root and grow back. It never did. What does that mean? What do you think about guys? Was the next question. About a year and a half ago, one of my best guy friends told me he loved me before I fully realized how much I had been affected by the night I was sexually assaulted. My friend kept telling me his feelings, but I kept turning him down. I just wasn't into it. He got mad and couldn't accept my answer, but eventually he gave up. We don't really talk anymore. I find myself wishing for a committed relationship, seeing as I've never had one. I keep trying to force something. Anytime a guy is interested, I try to make it work. We go on a date or hang out, but it never feels right. Is this how it's always going to be? One night, while I was studying, my mom called. She sounded worried. She kept asking, "Are you okay?" I kept telling her I was. She told me she knew something was wrong. Someone, probably one of my siblings or my dad, read my instant messaging profile online and showed it to my mom. I guess she figured out from what was written that things weren't good here at school. She asked what happened. I told her I didn't know. She asked again. I couldn't answer. She guessed it. Moms just have a way of knowing things. We talked and cried on the phone for about an hour. She decided to fly up here 2 days later. I didn't understand why she wanted to be here. I knew I didn't want to talk about it with her. For 3 days, I showed her around the place I call home. One morning, we went to the bagel shop for breakfast. As we were sitting at the table in the front window, she asked, "So is everything okay?" I answered yes. Then she asked, "You covered all your bases?" I knew what she was getting at. She wanted to know if I had gone to a doctor for an exam. I clenched my teeth and answered yes, hating that I wasn't telling the truth. I know I should get checked out, but every time I go to make an appointment, I get scared. I don't want to be hurt like I hurt the night you raped me. Mom changed the subject, and I was relieved. That's the last time we talked about it. At my final appointment, my counselor said she thought it was cool that during the rape, I was able to kick you off. I thought so too, but I still didn't understand why it took me so long to do it. What I didn't know is that there's more than just a fight or flight response. Many women freeze. My counselor said this is because many women don't feel they're strong enough or fast enough to fight or flee. She said, women freeze to get through the situation alive. While there is an attack on a woman's body, she tries to numb her mind, so it isn't attacked as well. She also said that the response is natural and does not imply consent. When she told me this, my whole body relaxed. I felt an enormous weight lift. I could breathe again. It was the first time I believed that it wasn't my fault. I left my counseling appointment that day with a smile on my face. I drove home singing at the top of my lungs to my favorite song. I got to my room and I called a close friend to ask if she'd meet me for breakfast. I was excited. Things were different. I was back. I ran into a classmate and gave her a huge hug. I went shopping with other friends and went to dinner with my mentor in the leadership program on campus. We were having great conversation. Then she asked why my mom came out so suddenly. I was lost again. The butterflies turned into a knot in my stomach. Should I tell her what happened? Why my mom really wanted to come up? I couldn't. That day, I felt as though my real self was back, and then she was gone again. I knew I had work to do. I started talking about what had happened and what I was feeling. I talked to every friend I knew. I talked to more people instead of unloading it all onto one person. Having seen a glimmer of my former self, I continued the quest. I had to. Sure, my life was still a roller coaster, but the ups were higher and the downs weren't as low. I started feeling as if there was finally a light at the end of the tunnel. And yes, I saw you, at one of the hockey games. I was with a big group of friends, and so were you. You sat about 6 rows behind me. I felt you staring at me. I was scared the whole time. At one point, I glanced back and you were looking at me. I looked you straight in the eye and turned back around. That took guts. A friend with whom I had shared my experience could tell by the look on my face what was going on. She grabbed my hand, reassured me that everything would be okay, and we sat and watched the rest of the game. I was so lucky I had friends with me. After the game, we waited a few minutes to be sure you were gone. Once I got home, I felt a little safer. I took some time for myself before I joined the group for a movie. I knew that I was okay. Soon after that, I got an email from a friend. Her boyfriend had recently had a few friends over to hang out. I wasn't there, but she said that one friend brought a guy along. This guy apparently started talking about the fun and crazy times he had at my school, even before he became a student here. He was telling everyone, who coincidentally all knew me, about a girl he met and had sex with. He mentioned seeing her at his campus orientation and at a hockey game. You were that guy. In your story, you called me by my nickname. My nickname isn't a common one, and my friends knew you were talking about me. You do remember me. You remember my face and my name. You do remember all the times that I said no? Do you remember my pushing you off of me? I took a walk not long ago and thought about how far I'd come. Although I feel more guarded and less carefree than I did before it happened, I also feel more aware. I place more value on friendship. I am more in tune with myself. I'm better able to recognize when others are hurting. I still get excited about the little things in life, like I did before you hurt me. I am increasingly confident. The consequences of your actions, the pain you caused, challenge me to find and understand myself. I am now closer to my friends and family. I've discovered an inner strength I never knew I had. I've realized that it is okay not to be okay. My faith was rocked, but I'm discovering a new relationship with God. I have discovered a lot. I have discovered me.